Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This we heard from last week's gospel. This is the centerpiece, the core and the summation of all of the Old Testament. It's the centerpiece and the summation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our mission statement, our marching orders. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And to help with that, we build churches. We build churches to call you out of your daily routine and daily life, to remind you that you belong to something bigger. You are held in a love that is stronger than death, that will not let you go, that calls you out. This love calls you to live in holy communion and commitment to all of those around. We build churches and we create elaborate rituals to recite prayers, to sort of change our consciousness. And we have priests that put on fancy clothes to help represent something bigger than themselves. We create temples and cathedrals and liturgy and vestments and all of this to call us out of our daily life, to remind us of our vocation of love. But sometimes we get so distracted by the building and the importance of the ritual that we forget that all of that is just a vehicle. And we begin to think that the church, the cathedrals, the vestments, and all of that is the end. We're here to support the church. We're here to support the temple. Or if you happen to be one in the fancy robes, you're here to wear fancy robes. And I love the fancy robes. I had more when I was at the cathedral. That was awesome. So the religion, which is the vehicle to communicate the gospel, sometimes becomes the problem. And thus it has always been. I want to read to you one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. It comes from Amos, and Amos is speaking for God when Amos says, "I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them." Sorry, choir. "Take away from me the noise of your songs, and I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amos, centuries before Jesus, was calling the temple out for putting so much emphasis in their fancy ritual and their fancy robes and their lovely music, and during all of that, forgetting the needs of the poor and the widow and the outcast. And what God is saying is all of that worship is like fingernails on a chalkboard. If you're not caring for those around you. Because the whole purpose of this religion is to open our hearts to God and to open our hearts to our neighbors. But sometimes we get so distracted with the rules and the structure that we forget the heart and the soul. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he only did one thing before his crucifixion. That one thing took a few chapters, but he only did one thing in Jerusalem before his crucifixion. And that was to attack the temple. In Mark's gospel, This last week of Jesus' life is divided into two halves. The second half is the Last Supper and the crucifixion, the passion of Jesus. But the first half is all about Jesus becoming like Amos and showing up in the temple and saying, this is all wrong. This is not okay. And the first thing he does in Mark's gospel is he goes to the tables of the money changers and he turns them over. The money changers were necessary because sacrifices were necessary and pilgrims would come from miles and they would need to buy, they would either need to give coins to the temple and they only had Roman coins so they had to exchange them. Or they needed to exchange them for temple currency, and then they needed to buy a pigeon or a dove or whatever. And you could imagine over time, the people that were like doing the money exchange and selling the doves were, you know, charging a high price because you're at the temple. Like, whenever you're at a tourist place, they charge the high price, right? So they're charging the high price, and they're turning God's love and worship and all of this into a commodity. They're perverting and corrupting all of this. So Jesus, in the sort of in step with long line of prophets who have been calling the temple to task, goes to the temple and overturns the tables of the money changers and said, this is all wrong. And for the next few days, he debates with the religious leaders, saying, you have lost the heart of God. And then in the middle of this debate with the religious leaders, last week we had this one bright spot. This one bright spot where one scribe comes up to Jesus and says, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, in the middle of this conflict thing where Jesus is saying, you've got it all wrong, there's this one moment where Jesus says, this is what it's about. Love God, love your neighbor. And as Bishop Curry likes to say, if it's not about love, it's not about God. And this place, Jesus is saying to the temple, is not about love. That's the context for today's gospel reading. Jesus is toward the end of this time of turning over the tables of the money changers, this time of attacking the temple. It's no wonder that he was crucified. Because he went right to the temple and just started attacking it. Toward the tail end of that, he turns his attention on the scribes. Now, scribes in Jesus' day were sort of like attorneys. They were literate. They could write. They were trained in law, and particularly the Jewish law. And they were there to interpret law. They were also there to draw up wills and do that kind of stuff. They were well respected in their society, so they loved to, you know, wear the long robes and sit in the fancy places, as all of us love to get to sit in the fancy places and be honored and all of that. And Jesus is calling them out for that. But one other thing about scribes is because women were not allowed to own property, when a woman was married to a man and they had property, they had some stuff, and the man died, the woman could no longer own it. So the widow had to turn the property over to a scribe, and it was the scribe's job to manage the property and give an allowance to the widow. And you can imagine the ways in which that could be abused. So we have Jesus, when in that line where he talks about the scribes who love to like get all the honor from the people, but they devour widows' houses. They devour widows' houses. So we have Jesus calling the scribes to task, saying, how dare you? And then the second part of today's gospel reading, Jesus sits down across the treasury, and the treasury had 13 receptacles for coins, and they were shaped like horns, like trumpets, and people would put the money in, their offering in, and it would clang as it went down. And you could imagine like people with lots of money wanting to get lots of honor with their lots of money walking over to one of these horns and like pouring it in, and you hear the clang, 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 and they leave, you know, feeling special, right? And then there's this poor widow that comes up and puts in two tiny little coins that are equivalent to about a penny. And Jesus points that out and says, look at this. We have all these people who are pouring in all of this money, but they're only giving a tiny percentage of their wealth, and they're getting on all this honor. But in reality, the widow is giving more than all of them because she is giving everything. Now, usually when this passage is interpreted, it's interpreted showing the widow as a hero, and there's a way in which that's true, contrasting the widow who gives everything to the temple. Contrast that with, you know, the rich young man we encountered a few chapters ago who was asked to give everything and wasn't able to. The widow is giving everything in honor of the temple. But right after today's gospel reading, Jesus is going to talk about how the temple is going to be destroyed. The temple's day is numbered. The temple is too corrupt to exist. And I think that this passage, not only is it sort of honoring this widow, it's also saying to the whole system, shame on you. Shame on you that you would encourage a widow to give everything she has and live in poverty. For a temple that is corrupt and is about to be destroyed. So I don't think necessarily the tone in Jesus' voice was one of adoring, like lifting up the widow as looking at the whole system and saying, this is not okay. And the fact that wealthy people put in like grand sums and get all of this honor, and here is this widow that the system is pushing into poverty and you're not even seeing. And she's holier than everyone else. And you're not even seeing her. And not only that, she's going to leave this temple with nothing to her name, and you don't care. I remember a story of a preacher saying something like, you know, there are millions of people dying, and you don't give a damn. And then in the sermon saying, and, you know, what's really shocking is you care, you know, more that I said damn than you do about the people that are hungry, right? And you just care more about, like, propriety and the fanciness and all of that. And you, like, the widow is out, just tossed to the side, and we don't even know this. And so in large part, this gospel reading is a cautionary tale. In large part, this gospel reading is holding up a mirror and showing us how bad we can be. And it's not just about the temple in Jerusalem, but the church of Jesus Christ, the Christian church, has fallen into this time and time and time again. Where we've gotten more distracted by the rules of religion. We've gotten more distracted by the grand buildings and the rituals and showing up and fighting over all kinds of foolish things about how we should pray and not paying attention to the least and the lost and the broken. We have fallen into that trap, and there is something in us. And it's not just church. So this is a cautionary tale, like not just about church. It's a cautionary tale about humanity. Because there is this piece of us that gives all this honor and attention to the celebrity, to those in the fancy clothes, and we ignore, devalue the impoverished, the poor, the disabled, the struggling. Like there is this harsh thing, this mirror that's being held up. With this story of the widow and Veterans Day. So a couple years ago, a few years ago, my wife deployed to Afghanistan. And when she was getting ready to go to Afghanistan, she would tell people, "I'm going to Afghanistan." And people would respond, "We're still in Afghanistan. We still have soldiers in Afghanistan. We still have soldiers in Afghanistan." And it's probably easier for us to know what the Kardashians had for breakfast this morning, given what the news focuses on, where our attention is focused, than what's happening in Afghanistan. And that right now, soldiers are still deploying to Afghanistan. And as I was pondering this lesson about this, like this system of the temple and the priests, that like all of this energy goes into maintaining this system of the temple and the priests and people's honor and attention goes there. And here's this poor widow giving everything she has, and it's really the soul of this widow that is keeping the temple holy. There's a parallel, I think, in the way our government is set up, and we put so much attention into the role of our political leaders, and we hold them up. And they're so distant. And it's not even, like, the people that send soldiers to war is us. And we're not even paying attention to that we're doing. And we're so distracted, right? We put politicians in office, and they get all of this honor and accolades, and they're celebrities and all of that, like the scribes and the priests in this story, when off over here, we have soldiers who are giving their lives, that are pouring out their all. And there's this way in which here, our political machine is devouring soldiers' houses, devouring widows' houses, using people as pawns in their political maneuver. Now, for me, this passage is mostly bad news. It's mostly showing up, like showing us, like how messed up we are as people. Because we repeat this narrative again and again and again. We just get distracted by celebrity. We get distracted by our own egos. And we forget the cry of the poor. And it happens in the church all the time. It happens in our culture all the time. In large part, for me, this story is bad news. But I think there are two pieces of good news in this story. Two pieces of important good news. One is, this story is in the Bible. Amos is in the Bible. It always shocks me. Like, there are these parts of the Bible that are designed to grab the church by the lapels and say, stop being a jerk. Wake up. Like, change. It amazes me that those got left in the Bible. Like, if I was designing a church, I wouldn't want those. Like, they're annoying. Amos is annoying. So don't put Amos in my Bible. But Amos is in the Bible. Jesus is in the Bible. We have this self-correcting mechanism in our scriptures. So that when we start getting too lost as a church, eventually we read the Bible. And we go, oh, we're missing the point. We're messing up. So for me, that's one piece of good news, is that this is in the Bible. And we read it every year. And because we read it, when we read it and we actually hear it, there's something that happens in our heart where we can love God and love our neighbor just a little bit better. Right? Wakes us up. So that's one piece of good news. Wake up. Don't get so distracted. The other piece of good news is that the sacrifice of the widow, the offering of the widow, did not go unseen. The offering of the widow was seen by Jesus. The offering of the widow is seen by God. And there's a way in which the kingdom of heaven is created and sustained because of the offering of the widow. You know, we think it's sustained by the temple or the cathedral or the bishops or the priests or the celebrities or all of the people that get our attention, when in reality, what keeps like the kingdom of the heartbeat of the kingdom of God pulsing is the offering of the widow. The offering of Kim McCurdy, who's in the kitchen almost every day cooking food for people who are hungry. The offering of Julie, who is fighting to keep Laundry Love going so that people who are homeless have a place that they can get their clothes clean. The people here in these pews who show up again and again and again out of love for one another. That's the foundation of the church. And that's where the soul of the church is kept. Where it's kept whole. It's in you. It's in your faithful, sometimes not even that faithful, showing up. Right? Because we're not perfect, but showing up and showing up and showing up and listening to God say, do better. In passages like this. That's where the soul of the church is maintained. And the soul of our nation is not maintained in Congress. The soul of our nation, in part, is maintained by soldiers and sailors, people in the Air Force and Marines who out of value, out of love for the person next to them in the foxhole, out of love for their country, offer their all. And it's that sacrifice, that offering that Jesus sees, that God sees, and that really is the salvation of our nation and the salvation of our church is you. Showing up and offering yourself in love. And knowing that that is what God is seeing. That God sees the little acts of kindness, the cups of cold water that are given out by God's people. And God says, all is not lost. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is here.